Thank you. Oh, Sam, can I have your one of these? Thanks. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. I think it's fine. Oh, thank you. Is it holding? Thank you. Thank you, Devnesha. Okay. I still feel there's someone that's still. I still feel there's someone that's really in a situation where they need God. Perhaps you have even lost hope in trusting God, or even stretching forth your faith to God because you've been disappointed before, and you probably no longer have it in you that God can come through. I really feel we still need to pray, to press in a little bit. Is there someone that you really feel, I have this situation that I need God, but to be honest, my heart, you know, has grown discouraged. If you are here, you're feeling discouraged, feeling heaviness over your body, over your shoulders. Is there someone like that? Someone like that. We just want to love to pray with you. You're just feeling this discouragement, this just unhealthy situation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Moriala. Okay, if you are such, please come in after the service. Please come talk to us, Bradley, the leaders, Caroline, Siko. Yeah. You know, sometimes the Bible says when hope is deferred, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So we can easily come to a place of lethargy, to a place of going through the motions, to a place where, you know what, I've tried this God thing so many times, it doesn't work. And in our hearts, we just go through the motions, we do what we have to do, but we know, you know what, this miracles thing, divine thing, it's not for us today, it's for people in the Bible, it doesn't happen to us. But I've got good news for you, it still happens today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus who healed, the same Jesus who raised the dead, the same Jesus who delivered the sick and the possessed, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will be the same. It doesn't matter what whoever says and what theology says. Jesus is the same. He does the same things that he did back then. He still does them today. I really want to come against that lie of the enemy that, you know, there are some people that are special and that I'm not loved. You are. Jesus says the bread is for the children. Thank you, Lord. Are we okay with the, are we almost there? The sound? We good? Okay, thanks. Okay, my name is Talent. Just going to share today, it's a Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to share about the resurrection and the life. As is tradition to share about the resurrection and the life. Jesus says in John, after raising Lazarus, was it before, was it after? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I want us to stay on this topic. I'm going to approach it slightly differently today. I know I have a few minutes, but it's important for us to press in and to... What we were doing is part of the sermon in worship and praying for the sick. It's part of the sermon. It's part of the resurrection. So the resurrection is not just an abstract concept that we preach on an Easter day. The resurrection has to be experienced amongst the saints, and it has to be experienced. It's not some concept or doctrine. It's something that we experience. So when we're just worshiping and just going for it, we are going into the place of the resurrection. And so just see this as a continuation of that. I'm not starting the sermon now. The sermon, the resurrection speaks of the power of God to raise the dead. Literally raise people who are dead to life and raise dead situations to life. The day we cease to believe that, the day we we cease to actively and convincingly believe in that, then our Christianity is dead. There is no Christianity without the power of God. There is no Christianity without resurrection. If this becomes a theory thing, a theoretical thing, we come, we give you lessons, then we have lost the plot. We have lost it. The life of God. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The life, that's why I called for people with life, with situations that need divine life. The life of God must be infused in our daily lives. That's the resurrection. The resurrection is not an Easter day, once in a year, some concept. It is the life of God in our everyday life. It has to be infused. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That reminds me of a certain day when in Luke 7, it must be when a young man had died and was being carried out of the city, the gates. Jesus meets this procession of a funeral and he sees this coffin, these people carrying a dead person. And Jesus says, and Jesus comes, and he, because he says, I am the life and the resurrection, he's not just going to say, oh, it's another program, or it's a funeral, or this happens every day. He stops and says, we will deal with this because I am the resurrection and the life. You see, sometimes we can get so much used to the fact that life happens, and this is life and the normal program of life, and we just say, no, there are people die, people live, people, and everything. And then we forget that there is one who calls himself the resurrection and the life. And then he steps up and says, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he raises a young man from... This is not just a story or some legend or some myth or some folklore. This is real. Jesus raised a person who was dead, certified dead, and he brought them back to life. And he still does that today. It's very important that it sinks in our hearts, sinks in our minds, that Jesus of the Bible is still Jesus today. Hallelujah. That's the essence of my sermon this morning. Next slide, please. Thank you. You see, we celebrate the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection every year, but we can become masters of talk and tradition and not have the life itself that is in the resurrection. So I want us to move away from being masters of good talk. I can deliver here a good sermon, everyone gets excited, and then next year rinse and repeat. We are to contend and to live in the resurrection power of God. The resurrection power of God is not to stay in the Bible. It is to live among us. And so I love the way the worship team just went for it. You see, half of us, probably not you, sometimes half of us, maybe not half, but just the ability to say, you know what, we will press in. And so thank you so much for just pressing in. The resurrection is, see, we all know the story. I can quote the story, Matthew 28, 27, in the morning, Sunday morning, they wake up, Mary and others, they go to the tomb of Jesus. They want to anoint him, but by the time they get there, they realize the stone has been unrolled, the tomb is empty, there's no one in there. And we know the story that the angel says, no, why do you seek the dead amongst, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Actually, that is the central, the most important thing in Christianity. Without this, there is no Christianity, guys. Without this, there is no life, there is no Christianity, there is no faith, there is no life that we are doing. This is at the center. The birth, the life, the death, and the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the four most important things which have happened in history. They are the pillars that hold the buildings called the church. Without that, there's nothing called church. There's no building, there's no faith, there's no life. These events are at the core of Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest hope for Christianity. Next slide, please. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Dear friends, let me give you clearly the heart of the gospel that I've preached to you, the good news that you have heartily received in which you stand. So, here is Paul saying, he's giving an intro, he's giving a preface. What I'm about to tell you is the heart of the matter. It's the heart of the gospel. So he says, listen carefully. What I'm just about to tell you is very, very important. So I'm preparing you. In verse 1, he's preparing people to say, listen, what I'm about to tell you right now is very important. So fasten your seats and listen and pay attention. This is very important. It's at the heart of the gospel. For it is through the revelation of the gospel that you are being saved, if you fasten your life firmly in the message I've taught you, unless you have believed in vain. Next verse, thank you. For I have shared with you that I have what I have received and what is of utmost importance. Again, double emphasis. This is the heart of the matter. This is of utmost importance. The Messiah died for our sins, fulfilling the prophecies of the scriptures, number one. Number two, he was buried in a tomb and was raised from the dead. Number three, after 3 days, as foretold in the scriptures. This is the heart of the matter. This is where everything starts and ends. That the Messiah died for our sins, fulfilling the prophecies of the scriptures, that he was buried in a tomb, and three, that he was raised from the dead after 3 days. If there is a message for Passover, there's a message for this season, it is that. It is the summary of our faith. That is at the core. That is the utmost importance. I just want that to sink in. To sink in that what we've been doing, what we are doing, and what we will do, they all rest on these 3 points. Next slide, thank you. He also appeared to more than 500 of his followers, at the same time, most of whom are still alive as I write this. Why is Paul... please go back. Previous slide. Okay. Next. Okay, I think there is 5, 6 there that I skipped for some reason. It speaks about how he appeared to the 12, how he appeared to Peter, and how he also appeared to the 500. Why does Paul go into detail telling us the fact that he appeared to people? Isn't that enough? He says he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12, he appeared to the 500. Why waste ink to tell us these details when he has already told us the most important thing? He is drilling it in our heads that this is not fiction. This is real. He appeared physically. He's drilling it in our heads because we are so far away, 2,000 years ago, and geographically and so forth, that we can think that this is a story from the Bible. No. He's drilling it in that this is it. This is flesh. He rose. He came. He appeared. He appeared to Peter. So he wants us to understand. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to the 500. Let that sink in. That the resurrection is not some superficial, fictional story. It's real. They saw him. They touched him after he had died and rose again. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I want that to sink in. Because this is at the basis of who we are. Next slide. The message we preach is Christ who has been raised from the dead. So how could any of you possibly say there is no resurrection? Let me put it this way. When Paul wrote this, there were others in the church of Corinth or around the city that said there is no resurrection. Or, let's put it this way. There was a dominant philosophy that undermined the resurrection and did not believe in the resurrection. Actually, it says the Greeks. There's a part you will see which speaks about the Greeks. So this philosophy had come into the church because this is the world we live in. I'll give you an example. I was listening to a certain guy speak about life after death, near what they call near-death experience. And he says he went to heaven. Actually, one guy went to heaven. He died literally for 15 minutes. And he went and God showed him places and he came back. And when he came back to life, the doctors had given hope. When he actually came back to life, when he opened his eyes, the doctor, they've been working on him for 12 hours. He was right at the base of his bed. And when he opened his eyes, the doctor called people, come and see the miracle man. And then when the guy says, when I woke up, I tried to tell the doctor what I saw. He was not interested in hearing the stories because medicine is taught, we are generally taught the philosophy, the Greek philosophy, which is our philosophy today, believes that there is no supernatural. Everything is, there is no life after death. Most people are trained not to listen to stories about this. Most doctors are trained to discard the supernatural. And so here is a man who says the miracle man. He's using the word miracle, but he doesn't want to hear about hell and heaven that this man saw when he died. He doesn't even want to entertain that because in his worldview, that doesn't exist. Life ends here. But because in the popular language, we use the word miracle. So we can use language and not believe what we are saying. Is someone getting what I'm hearing? We can be masters of language and talk and tradition that this is what we do, this is what we say, but in our hearts we not believe it. And that's the world we live in. The world we live in doesn't believe in the supernatural power of God. It doesn't believe in miracles. It doesn't believe in the resurrection. And that philosophy, that mindset easily is in the church today. It is dominant in the church. We say it with our mouths, but in our hearts we don't believe. I tell you about someone that has died, that's the end. We don't believe God can raise someone from the dead today. We believe it with our heads, but in our hearts, we don't. We call it a miracle. So this is Paul. Paul is addressing this mindset that he had shifted and come into the church because this is the world, the Greek world that we live in, the Western intellectual world we live in that is only rational and is not transcendent, transrational. And it is so easy, it can affect your brain. And because we live in a world like that, you can come to a place where you come to church. In fact, so many people today, they come to church, they believe in God, but they don't believe in the supernatural. And that's a contradiction. You can't believe in God who did things in the Bible, miracles, and not believe that miracles are still happening today. That's a contradiction. There's a whole church of cessation. There's a whole church tradition. And in fact, in theological seminaries today, in universities, where they teach degrees in theology, they teach that no, those miracles ended with the apostles. It's the mindset of the world that has come and invaded the church. And it's been there. Paul was dealing with it in Corinth. He's addressing it here. He's saying, brothers and sisters, let's just talk about the concept of resurrection. I'm not talking about the resurrection as Jesus buying our freedom. And let's just talk about just resurrection. Just the fact that someone was dead and someone has come back to life. People were saying that doesn't happen. And let's start there, because if this doesn't happen, he says, let's read that. The message we preach in Christ who has been raised from the dead. So how could any of you possibly say there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. So if you dispute the supernatural, forget about Christ, because if the fact that we don't believe that someone who is dead can come to life, then forget about everything else. Forget about everything else. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if there is no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing and your faith is useless. So we're just playing religion. We might as well pack and go home. we might as well just pack. And if we don't believe in miracles, don't believe in the supernatural, we don't believe that God heals, God delivers, God, then let's pack and go home, because Christianity was founded on a miracle. The resurrection of Jesus. Next slide. Moreover, if the dead are not raised, that would mean that we are false witnesses who are misrepresenting God. And that would mean that we have preached a lie, stating that God raised him from the dead, if in reality he didn't. So you see, Paul takes this one simple aspect of the fact that we no longer believe in miracles, and makes a big story out of it. He says, if you bite that lie of the world, that everything can be explained by rational means and thoughts, then let's pack and go home. Because if that is true, miracles don't happen, supernatural don't happen, then Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. Then Lazarus wasn't raised from the dead. Then that young man wasn't raised from the dead. Then nobody else can be raised from the dead, because that is not possible. And therefore, Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, and therefore, there is no Christianity. You see, it's seemingly a simple, a light issue, but it's not a light issue in Paul's mind. The issue of miracles, of the supernatural, of resurrection power, of the power of God, is not a doctrinal issue. It's a life and death issue. It's a Christianity or no Christianity, a salvation or no salvation issue. It's that fundamental. It's that critical. If the dead aren't raised up, that would mean that Christ has not been raised up either. And if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins, and your faith is a fantasy. Very strong words. Very strong words. Next slide. It would also mean that those believers in Christ who have passed away have simply perished. It has serious implications. If the only benefit of our hope in Christ is limited to this life on earth, we deserve to be pitied more than all others. This is the reality of it. How many of us in the church still have eternity mindset? We think life is about me getting, grow up, get a career, get married, have kids, and die. And those are the most important things to us. The life beyond the grave is, we believe in it, but it's not, in reality, it's not that important. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, you know what, if you don't believe in the eternal, in the resurrection and the life beyond the grave, the fact that we are not just living, we are preparing for the eternity. Jesus says, invest in eternity where there is no moth and rust that can kill. So if your money and your investment is just for your retirement, for a good life when you retire only, then you are to be pitied. You have wasted your life. Because you gave away all the joys and all the beauties and all the pleasures of this world, and you never quite got the full thing. You were neither here nor there. You didn't enjoy the world. You didn't enjoy Christianity at all. So where were you? You just wasted your time. But if you use your money, your investment, your talent, your treasure, your time to invest as well, not just for this life and for this eternity and for the needs and wants, but also for the eternal, if that's what you believe, then you're going to use, then that is real Christianity. You're going to use your talent, your time, your treasure to invest. This is what Paul is saying. He says, if we don't really believe in this thing, guys, then the world should look at us and say, these Christians, you know, they are wasting their time. We are to be pitied. They are supposed to look at us pitifully. But the truth is, Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruit of a great resurrection harvest of those who have died. Ha ha! Hey, Christ, the truth. Whatever I've said, whatever the world says, whatever the belief and whatever, however I've been corrupted, the truth is Christ is risen from the dead. The truth never lies. The truth stands still. The truth is still true today. The truth is Christ is risen from the dead. And as the first fruit of a great resurrection of those who have died, we are going to be part of the great resurrection. And Jesus is the first fruit. The truth is Christ is risen from the dead. Ha ha. This is the message. This is the truth. Like it or not, this is the truth. That is not going to change. The truth is Christ is risen, guys. Christ is risen from the dead. Whatever the philosophies, whatever the science, whatever the thing, whatever the world philosophy of our day, the truth is clearly engraved in my heart and in my spirit. It is ingrained. It is that Christ Jesus is risen from the dead. And I have eternal hope in following him. And that is my faith. That is my life. That is the foundation and the rock of my life. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is alive. Not just risen. He is alive today as we speak. I spoke to him this morning. I know him. I spoke to him this morning. It's not some fiction or some fad. He is risen. He is alive. Next slide. Thank you. Whew. So let's talk about, let's just, as we conclude, let's turn it around. Let's think about what would happen if there is no miracles, then there is no resurrection, there is no supernatural. A world, the Western world which we live in, which does not believe in the supernatural. This is what it means. So there are two ways in which we deal with the supernatural. The church, much of the church, especially in the Western world, has come up with doctrines that discard the supernatural in our day. And this is what would mean if the supernatural... So some wish that this issue of miracles and healing and supernatural should not be talked about in church. We can cut it off completely in the church or in the world and it doesn't exist. So if it doesn't exist in the world, our worldview is no supernatural, and if this is what you want, we can end up with that. But this is what it means. You have seen some of those posters, eh? Lost lover. I mean, if you live in South Africa, you have seen those. You have seen that stuff. If our world is not supernatural, then we will have none of that. We will not have people advertising about a powerful witch doctor that if you have lost a lover, you can come to me, I will deal with you, I'll bring back the lover back. It's the ideal, beautiful world where there's no supernatural, there's, you know, this is the world which the world wants, that everyone wants, where there is no supernatural. And so all the stuff will be unnecessary, will be scraped away. There will be no one going to a witch doctor to try and fix ABC, a lost lover. You know, they will give you some muti, and then the lost lover will have a dream and they'll come back. Let me explain this, guys. Spies. They say Germany is the spy capital of the world. There are spies in Cape Town. Did you know that? There are spies in Cape Town. Did you know that? There are spies from UK, spies from America, spies from China, from Russia. They live here. You probably have met some of them, but you didn't know that this guy was a spy. And the spies, they thrive when nobody suspects that there is a spy. In fact, they thrive when we all believe that there are no spies. There are no more spies in the world. They love it. They want us to believe, because then they can operate covertly unhindered. This is the spiritual world we live in, where we no longer believe demons exist. And demons love it when we don't believe in the supernatural, when our worldview doesn't believe, because they can thrive with nobody questioning, because nobody believes in this. Nobody believes these things exist. There is no evil. There is no demons. There is no witchcraft. This is just some folklore. They actually love it. That's why they enforce the world. The Western world doesn't believe in any of this actually much. And that's actually the best place for demons to operate. They've actually worked over decades to build that mindset through universities and stuff that doesn't exist, so that they have free reign in destroying the lives of people. And so if we have no world, no supernatural world, we'll have no witchcraft, we'll have no witch doctors and all that kind of stuff. But The truth of the matter is that our world is a spiritual world. And a lot of this happened covertly. Next slide as we close. We have all seen this video before, some few years back. If there is no resurrection, there is no miracles, there is no supernatural, then this wouldn't have happened. Alf Lukau, the resurrection, the fake resurrection that made the news a few years ago. This wouldn't have happened if people don't believe in the supernatural. So this happens in Africa because a lot of Africans believe in the supernatural. But in the Western world where there is no belief, this is not going to happen. So the temptation is, because there is a lot of abuse, a lot of fake going around like this, therefore we don't want to do anything to do with the supernatural. And that is a trap. That is a big trap. Because we have seen prophets abuse people and do all sorts of things. We don't want anything to do with prophecy, with healing, with anyone claiming someone raising from the dead. What you don't realize is that the negative reaction is actually planned by the enemy for you to be negative towards the supernatural and towards the power of God. And that is a faith killer. Because your attitude is that we don't talk about resurrection, we don't try and practice healing the sick, raising people from wheelchairs, we don't do this. The enemy does it in an abusive way so that you have a totally negative attitude towards it. And you will feel good, you feel this is right Christianity. You don't realize it's a trap. You don't realize he's got you where he really wants you. So what I'm doing with this analogy is be careful what you wish for, because we could see lots of abuse like this and wish that we don't talk about this. There's no supernatural stuff, and we don't even want to talk about it because it's embarrassing. But what you don't realize is that the devil has put you in a corner where he really wants you. But whatever there is, abuse of the power of God, abuse of spiritual gifts, abuse of the supernatural, whether it exists or not. Next slide, thank you. What remains that Christ is risen. Abuse wants us to go to disuse and skepticism, which leads to dead faith. But we're not going to be trapped in dead faith and abuse and overreaction to abuse. We will stand as a church and believe what the word says. Jesus says in Matthew 10, Luke 10, when he sends out disciples, he says, go and heal the sick, raise the dead, deliver the oppressed, cast out demons, and raise the dead. It is still part of Christianity's curriculum to raise the dead. We can quickly get to a place, that's that last slide, we can quickly get to a place where we don't talk about these things in church. Because there's been abuse, because there's been this, we're no longer our worldview, all stuff. But let me tell you, let me give you a reminder. That's my mission this morning, to give you a reminder that it is the resurrection reminds us of the fact that the curriculum of Christianity is raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the sick. That should not get out of the curriculum of Christianity. The fact that we are not practicing it, the fact that we are not seeing testimonies, does not take it out of the syllabus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. I am the resurrection and the life. So perhaps your heart has been far away from believing God for the miracles because you have tried it 100 times and you've seen nothing. You've tried the best preachers and they're all fake and you've seen nothing. And so in your heart you can get to a place where you no longer believe in God of the breakthrough, the God of healing, the God of miracles. But let me tell you today that resurrection, there will be no resurrection if there is no God of miracles, there is no God of healing, there is no God of breakthrough. And he is here today. And he says to whosoever who believes, he will say to this mountain, be cast out, if you believe and not doubt. We can get to a place where we no longer live by faith. That's dead. We can get to a place where we talk and act church, but our faith is dead because we don't practice the supernatural. When we stop practicing the supernatural, we get to a place where our faith is dead. And this morning, I would like to stir up the church to say, let's get back to the foundations of our faith. Let's get back to whether it's believing God for your own journey, whether it's trusting God for someone, whether it's praying for someone, the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for a reminder of the gospel. Thank you for the reminder of the kingdom. Thank you. Thank you for the blood that we partake in, the flesh and the body of Jesus. But thank you for reminding us that we can actually partake this in the flesh without faith. Or we can do it in faith and practice our faith again. And so this morning, thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that someone here was, we had even stopped believing God because this doesn't work, that they'll be stirred in their hearts, that our faith demands that we trust the Lord. That it is not an option to trust the Lord. Our faith demands that we trust the Lord. The same God who forgave our sins, the forgiveness of our sins comes through faith. Just as the healing of our bodies comes through faith. And so, Lord, we thank you for a reminder this morning. As we reflect in the areas that we have compartmentalized and says, this God is not involved. Shandarala mama sikalia zende, mariatika sepere lebe suku mandare likia sandada. Mabaralia zete lebe ushuku mandari gasite relebe usuku manda harala zite tele mesanda. Mabaratiki eleme zundu ruba shita lama sanda rikalia sendere lebe kesanda. Mabiri elebe sukumande rele setaraibi oshekaba karie dele satisi munsu miente legasa balara. Meperendia zititikuo sopere lesanda mabiele seke leme uzumu nduru biete lebe kesanda. Stir my faith again, Lord. Let me trust you, God, in my finances. Stir my faith again. Let me trust you, God, in ministry. Let me trust you. All the broken promises, the broken vows I've made and broken, Lord, help me to go back to them and trust you, God, because I've failed, because I've been defeated. Help me to rise back again with faith and take this mountain again. Lord, give me this mountain again. Give me this mountain again, because this is the courage and boldness in our hearts is what you long to stir up. Stir up courage, stir up boldness, stir up courage, stir up boldness in our hearts again to believe God, to go for it, to walk with God boldly and with confidence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to have Holy Communion. I'm going to ask someone to distribute just as we continue in that atmosphere. The team can just help distribute the wine and the bread. So this morning, I want you to be in twos or threes, and I just want us to reflect on this. Just reflect on the message. What are the things that you have compartmentalized? Where have you stopped believing God? Where have you allowed your faith to die? Areas in your life that you have allowed your faith to die, or where you have been disappointed, or where you have not actively been practicing your faith and the resurrection life of God. So let's stay in twos. Let's chat a bit before we even have that. Let's stay in twos. Because these elements, because faith comes before we take the communion. It comes, the elements are to be taken by faith. And so when our faith is dead, the Bible says in James, it says, faith without works is dead. In other words, faith without a response, faith without that act of faith, of responding, of going for it, then there is no faith. So I want us to to I want us to eat this to eat this body and drink this with faith in our hearts this morning. So my aim is to stir up the faith. Where you know something has died in your faith, please confess one to another and say, you know what? Like me, there are areas in my life where I've said, God, that I don't speak to God about that area in my life because I no longer believe God can help there. Otherwise, my faith is dead as far as that is concerned. So I want us to talk to each other about our faith because we are to stay each other in faith. And so this thing was not meant to be just taken, you know, just like that. It is a thing of faith, just like anything in the faith. Baptism, everything, it is to be done by faith. And faith needs to be in our hearts. And so this is a stirring in our hearts for faith. So I want you to take a few minutes and chat how the message has spoken to you, anything that stood out in the message, and what it is, and the areas that you need God to help you in your faith. Thank you. And then we're going to have the communion. And then after that, you can pray together and take the bread and take the wine. Pray for each other. Thank you. Father, we bless your people, we bless your children, we speak the grace of God, even as they go out and we go home and we fellowship, we speak the blessing of the Lord upon everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.